Patria, es espacio Patria Mitzvah, so deal with the affliction of Sarai. So I'd like to, you know, we have the Mitzvah that Sarai's flame is an onus for Lashon Hara. I'd like to talk a little bit about Lashon Hara. I'd also like to do things a little differently tonight, and I want to start on maybe a point of Drush, and then return to that point at the end. So to speak, it's relevant, not, you know, you know. There is a Rashi in the beginning of Parshas Shlach. Rashi quotes from the Chazal that the question about the sneakers of Parshas in Parshas Shlach, not a famous question, the famous question in Parshas Shlach, you have Parshas Meraglim at the beginning and you have Kala. The famous question about the sneakers of Parshas in Shlach is Kate Meraglim with Neachala. But besides that, Rashi quotes a different one. Rashi in the beginning of Parshas Shlach points out that the Meraglim come right after the story of Miriam. So it's a question, why the Torah arranged things that way, that we have immediately the union of Miriam and then the union of Meraglim? So Rashi explains that the Meraglim, they should have learned from Miriam. They should have known better. That here the Torah tells us Miriam was initial in telling Lashon Hara, and she was punished. And right away, you have the Meraglim, they didn't learn their lesson. Hayol ha'am l'tach musa, they should have learned their lesson. They right away go and speak Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael. It's a little bit difficult because it's not such a kal v'chomer. You know, you could say that it's one thing to say Lashon Hara about a person, specifically about Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the leader of Klal Yisrael. So to say that it's like a kal v'chomer, so to speak, is what the Rashi kind of sounds like. That, oh, so all the more so you shouldn't speak Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael, doesn't sound so mukher. It sounds like that's talking about a land. It's a whole different thing. Why we should assume that somebody should know from what Miriam did, what happened to Miriam, one should learn from that, not to talk like that, it's a little bit hard to understand. In fact, the Gemara in the middle of everything, where you have a lot of the sugyas of Lashon Hara, so the Gemara there really says the way we would have thought. The Gemara says, you know, the Lashon Hara about people is bad, because look at the Raglan. Raglan got in so much trouble, and all they did was talk about an inanimate object, about a land, so all the more so, somebody who talks about people is for sure in trouble. So that's like we would have thought, that it's really a kal v'chomer in the other direction. So what exactly is this Rashi getting at? So that's the opening kind of drishy question I'd like to start with, and maybe we'll come back to that at the end. So as far as what the Yitzhar of Lashon Hara is, so there is a statement in the Rambam that the Achronim ask about. The Rambam says in Hilchos Deis, in Parag Zayin, Halacha Dalet, that, you know, we have a concept called Avak Lashon Hara, right? Very often, like by Ribbitz, you have an Yitzhar in its pristine form, and then you also have another version of the Yitzhar, which is kind of a Madriga lower, even though it might still be, I mean, in Daraisa, that's what we call Avak, you know, the dust of the Yitzhar. So Avak Lashon Hara as well, so you have the Yitzhar of Lashon Hara, and you have what we call Avak Lashon Hara. So Gemara says everyone is Nishlan Avak Lashon Hara. So a couple of examples of what a Avak Lashon Hara is, and one of the examples is that the Rambam says, if I say something that sounds like it's nice about somebody, but it turns out I really am using it to hurt him, okay, I was going to come out bad, that's a Avak Lashon Hara. I make it sound like, oh, I'm just saying something innocent, it's not something that's inherently negative, and it comes out badly, so that's a Avak Lashon Hara. So Achronim ask, that's a Avak, that's lower? That should be worse. That's not what Shmacher Le'eil B'Seser. It's like you're not openly attacking somebody, you're attacking somebody who's secretly pretending to be his friend, and you're really trying to hurt him. That sounds like worse than normal Lashon Hara. It's one thing to be overt and blatant about it and say something bad, and then to go behind his back and pretend you're trying to be his friend and really hurt him that way, that sounds much worse. Perhaps. So that's harder to understand. So what is that all about? So Shmacher Le'eil B'Seser explains the Sefer Kodesh Yisrael. Very nice sefer on Inyanim of Ben Adam L'Chaver, was written by Rabbi Avram Ehrman. So he suggests that perhaps there is a machlokis here between the Rambam and perhaps other Rishonim as to the tsura of the Yitzhar Lashon Hara. That in a chanami, that as far as the midah of Lashon Hara, so to do it in this roundabout way is certainly sleazier. And it's certainly less nice what this guy is doing. It's pretending to be nice and really saying something hurtful. Of course, midos-wise, that's worse. But perhaps there is a position here that we've discussed in other contexts, that the Torah doesn't directly address midos. Tara, of course, has a certain midos in mind that it wants to encourage or discourage, as it does with emotions. But at the same time, the Torah doesn't directly say, has such and such character trait, has such and such an emotion. So there has to be a specific tsura sayisr. And the tsura sayisr is hurting somebody through saying something negative about them. Now, there are other ways that you could also do things related to that, but that's going to be knocked down a level. That's going to be an avak lashon hara. And even if midos-wise they're worse, still, the Torah doesn't directly address midos, the Torah addresses actions, so there has to be an objective form to the action, and we work from there. You know, this point about not addressing midos or emotions, that's similar to you saw there, Salvechik is developed in many contexts, it's quoted by many Talmidim in different places. You know, for example, we talk about Simchas Yantuv, that the Torah says, Mitzvah Samachta B'Chagata, and the Rebbe explained that even though it sounds like the Torah is telling you to be happy, the Torah doesn't really work that way. Really, it means that B'Zman HaBayis, bring Karbanos, or B'Zman HaZeh, to eat flesh, you know, whatever it is, things that will bring about happiness, because even though the intention the Torah really wants to command happiness, but the Derech HaTorah is not to address midos directly or emotions directly, but the Derech is to address actions in the hope that that will bring about certain emotions or midos. Like he says, the same thing by tshuva, you know, why does Rambam say the mitzvah is vidur and not tshuva? Because tshuva is an internal change, so the Torah is not going to directly address that, even though the Torah wants to address that, the Torah addresses vidur in the hope that will bring about such a change. Yeah, we see so in a couple places. So, that the Torah is not saying, the Torah sounds like it's saying be happy. But we find from the Gemara that the Torah doesn't just tell us to be happy, the Torah tells us to eat basar v'yayin, or buy new clothes, or things like that, or b'zman habayis, bring mishalmei simcha. So the idea is that even though the kavanah of the Torah really is that the Torah wants us to be happy, but that's not really the way the Torah works. It addresses midos or emotions directly, rather it addresses certain actions in the hope that that will be conducive to those emotions or those character traits. So perhaps that's true by lashon hara also, that even though, yes, there is a midah here that the Torah wants to address, but perhaps the derech of the Torah is to have a very specific surah sayisr that can be definable as an action, and to work from there. Alternatively, one could say that other rishonim disagree. And if you look in the Sefer Kodesh Yisrael, he proves how this could be the position of Rabbeinu Yonah. I'm not going to go into that proof at length now. There are indications of Rabbeinu Yonah's position that Rabbeinu Yonah felt, no, the Torah is addressing a midah here. The Torah is saying that one should not be a gossip. Right? The Torah is saying, say lechalachol, don't be the kind of guy who walks around telling stories. Do not be a gossipy person. And in the Chananya, yes, the Torah is saying that this is a quality you should not have, and is addressing the quality directly. So that's something I'd like to talk about a little bit tonight. What is the nature of this prohibition of lashon hara? Is it not to say a damaging statement, not to hurt someone through speech? Or is it not to indulge this need, this quality of gossiping, of negative talk about people? And I'd like to suggest a number of instances in which it seems to come out. First of all, I'd like to discuss the issue of Ape Tlasa. So there is a head to the Gemara talks about called Ape Tlasa. Before you get too excited about it, we should point out that the post can modify it strongly. But Ape Tlasa. The Gemara says, in the middle of Erechon over there, and he still gives him a little of Lashon Hara. So the Gemara says, Kol Milsa, this Amris Ape Tlasa. Ape Tlasa means in front of three people. Ape Tlasa, in front of three people. Less Behu Mishum Lush Debisha. That if something is already said in front of three people, so we do not apply to that the Yisr of Lashon Hara. The basic idea being that if something is already public knowledge, something is already known, so to repeat that fact is not a violation of Lashon Hara. And we assume that in front of three people is considered to be public knowledge because, as the Gemara has an attitude there, and it's also reflected in the Gemara's in Bava Basra in the context of Chazakas and when things are publicized there. So the Gemara says that for publicity purposes, we assume that three is considered to be Meforsim. Because, as the song goes, that we assume that one person has a friend who has a friend who has a friend who has a friend who has a friend. So once they have already three people knowing, so it's safe to assume that the matter either is or will soon be public knowledge. So the implication of the Gemara is that when something is public knowledge, as defined by this rule of three, so then there is no longer a prohibition to talk about it. And again, don't get too excited, this we'll discuss maybe more in a second, so the person will say, a lot of conditions here, you have to intend not to reveal it any further, you have to intend also not to want to humiliate the person for talking about it. There's a lot of rules, it's hard to get too much juicy aterium out of this principle way the post can quote it. But at the very least, the Gemara does seem to be saying that when a matter is public knowledge, so it's permissible to say these negative things about people. That's the way the Gemara sounds on the surface. Tosus, however, takes a lot of the umside of this also, much more of the umside of this. You think that when the post can say that you can't have kavana to hurt the guy or to spread it further, that was already limiting it. Tosus limits it much more. Tosa says, we're not talking about normal Lashon Hara here. As you may be familiar with, the Gemara says there are other types of Lashon Hara. If I say so-and-so is a jerk, so fine, that's Lashon Hara. But the Gemara says also there's other types of Lashon Hara. You can say something good, and that could be Lashon Hara. Right? How so? Let's say I say that Shmuel gave me a great steak last night. And I take my word for it, that is an entirely positive sentence. However, it could still hurt the guy. Because if it's very possible that he may not want that to be public knowledge, because then he's never going to be able to sit down to dinner by himself again. Because once people know about that, the people are going to be knocking down his door trying to get the steak. Gemara calls that Lashon Hara. Yeah, Gemara has a Lashon Hara, but an oven. The person has a big oven burning in his house. It could be. I don't remember exactly what Gemara calls that Lashon Hara, but I think it's a form of Lashon Hara. So that even though it's an entirely positive idea, notion, greatly to be encouraged, it's the sense in of itself contains only positive things, but nonetheless, since it could damage the person, it could result in an undesirable result on the person you're talking about, Gemara says you're not supposed to say that. Well, presuming that the guy wouldn't want it out, if the guy is running a restaurant, so presumably he doesn't want it out, and then different story, but the presumption is the guy would not want this to be known. So Tosfos says, when the Gemara says you're allowed to say things that are public knowledge, that doesn't mean you can say bad things about people. Bad things about people you still can't say. It only means the good type of Lashon Hara, the things that are positive, but just we're afraid they're going to get out and hurt the guy. Right, that's really limiting it, right? So that, these kind of positive things, those are the things you can say. But negative things you can never say. So this, and I don't mean never, ever, I'm saying never, the Gemara is not allowing it. Clearly other rules of 12 and whatever still apply. But this idea of Apeis Plus is not helpful for negative things. So one could suggest that the discrepancy here between the way the Gemara sounds on the surface and the way Tosus interprets it may reflect this issue that we're talking about. That it could be, if you read the Gemara straight, so what's the focus of the Issur of Lashon Hara? Focus is you can't damage someone through speech. So if you're not able to do any more damage, because it's already public knowledge, so you're not adding to the Bizayin, this is Gemara, you're not adding to the Bizayin, so then perhaps there's no additional Issur Lashon Hara. And again, within that context, the modification of the Poskim is easily understood, but if you really are going to extend the circle of people who know about it, then it's still prohibited. But presuming that you're keeping within the circle that it's already public knowledge about, so you're not going to add any damage, even though you're still going to be a gossip, you're still going to be talking about bad things that people did, still going to have that whole sleazy midah. Nonetheless, since you're not going to really hurt the person anymore, so strictly speaking, Lashon Hara wouldn't attach.
Well, and it's a mukkah. You're still making it worse. All right, right now it's...
That's why the postman is saying, have to be very careful, make sure you're not extending the...
Like, forget a fire, need a bigger fire.
Well, the question is whether or not you're really making the fire any bigger. If you're at all making the fire bigger, if anyone else is going to know about it because you talked about it, or it's going to get any worse, so on a konami, it could be, but it is prohibited. And you'll see, and we'll get into this more in a second, that postman are very emphatic about that, especially the public saying.
Like, let's say I post someone's yeah, so we'll, the paper, but he doesn't read papers.
Right, so we'll talk about that more in a second. So, but the way Tosus seems to be implying, so perhaps the focus is not so much on the hurting people, but the focus is on the neither. So to say bad things about people, to indulge in this quality of being a gossip, that's never appropriate. Even if you're not going to hurt them anymore, even if you're not going to increase at all the circle of people who know about it, you're not going to cause any more damage, but you are going to indulge this mitzvah of Lashon Hara, that's always inappropriate. The only time it's appropriate is when it's not a negative thing, when you're saying something positive and you're not at all partaking in this quality of being a gossip, and you have the additional fact you're not hurting anybody because it's already public knowledge, so then it's permissible. But to be a gossip, that's never all right. So it could be that you do see these two ideas reflected, and The Chafetz Chaim is one of his poskim who, not surprisingly, is very careful to limit the scope of Apei Pasa. And it's a question how, what, like the Rambam says, that if something's already known, so you're allowed to say it, and the Ketzer Mishnah says it's got to be only if it comes up occasionally, and not that you really intend to talk about it, and the Chafetz Chaim takes an even stricter stance, that even if somebody asks you how you're supposed to say it, it's only if it really comes out accidentally in some other context, you're trying to make an example, and you mention something that's public knowledge, and it comes out, you know, kind of aga-aga, then it's okay. So Lashon Hara, you know, the Chafetz Chaim is really very limiting about this. And the Chafetz Chaim says, you know, even if one person tells Lashon Hara to somebody else, and then somebody else, a third person comes and repeats the same thing that was just told, it's also prohibited. So there's an article in the Journal of Vakshi Amunah, where the author of the article proves from this Chafetz Chaim that there's an additional issur beyond just hurting somebody with speech. There's an issur to indulge in this quality at all, to have any intention to be a gossip. So that certainly seems to be the case in the Chafetz Chaim's language. But one could suggest that perhaps there's a little bit of a machlokas here, that perhaps the Rambam has it in one way, and the Chafetz Chaim, even though the Chafetz Chaim is writing within the Rambam, but the Chafetz Chaim is perhaps taking a stricter stance. The focus is not only on the damage, but as he explicitly says, the focus is on the mida, on the intention to hurt someone. And that in itself is what is prohibited by Lashon Hara. And we'll see in further examples of the Chafetz Chaim seems to consistently maintain that position. That's perhaps one example. Another area in which you may find this issue surfacing has to do with the parallelism. You know, the Gemara is clear in Sachem, and this is something that we all know from our early education, that not only is there a prohibition of speaking Lashon Hara, but there's also a prohibition of hearing Lashon Hara. Right, not only prohibited on the speaker, it's also prohibited the listener to hear. Now, what exactly is the gather of prohibition of hearing Lashon Hara? So the Chafetz Chaim writes that, yes, first of all, if someone tells Lashon Hara, so yeah, we always have the rule of Lameicha Shmibai, that you're allowed to take it into consideration if you have to protect yourself. If the guy tells you, listen, you should know, this guy you're talking to happens to be a car thief, so you shouldn't give him the keys to your car. You know, you have to protect yourself, and you should know that, okay, maybe I should be more concerned than usual as far as handing out my car. But beyond that, beyond taking whatever steps you need to protect yourself or others, so the Chafetz Chaim writes that beyond that, even in your heart of hearts, you're not allowed to believe it's true. You have to refuse to believe what you hear, and even just mentally, you're not allowed to accept it. That's what it means not to be makabel Lashon Hara. Ideally, you wouldn't even hear it, right? Somebody starts telling you Lashon Hara, you'd say, I don't want to hear it. But let's say somebody succeeds in learning it out, they told you the whole Lashon Hara, so your responsibility is, right, the Chafetz Chaim, to not even believe it at all. So Sternbach writes in his Chuvis, and his Chuvis Mahan Haggis, in Chelek Aleph, in Simen Tuf Kuf Nun He, Aleph Tuf Kuf Nun He. So Sternbach writes, let's get real, the Chafetz Chaim is a very religious man. But Hatayu Lodin Lamach Hashari. You know, if a person who you've been friends with for 20 years and you've believed everything he said, go now. If he comes and tells you something, you're going to believe him. You don't have control over that. You don't have control to just turn off all of a sudden and not believe what the guy's going to tell you. He may, I think he said Hatayu Lodin Lamach Hashari. I don't remember exactly. I think he did say that. But he says the main, it's not shy if you're not going to believe it just because you don't want to. The serious thing is, if a person never said anything not true to you, and you've known him for 20 years, so it's hard for you to all of a sudden stop believing him when he tells you something now. So what does it mean not to be makabel Lashon Hara? So again, carving out the exception of Lameicha Shmibai, you know, whatever you need to protect yourself, but beyond that, Rav Sternbach writes, not to be makabel Lashon Hara means to not let it affect your behavior. So the guy tells you he's a car thief, okay, so you won't give him the keys to your car, but still, when you see him in the cafeteria, so you'll still be polite, you'll still be friendly, you'll still say hello. You won't let there be a damage to him on the social scene because of what you heard. The fact that you're going to believe it intellectually can't do anything about it. Perhaps. But as far as your behavior towards a person, as far as, you know, on things not related to what you heard, not related to what you need for protection, so you're not going to allow any change to enter into your behavior. So one could suggest that these two positions and how to understand Kabbalah Pesach and Harav, Chafetz Chaim's view and Rav Sternberg's view, may also circle around these issues that we've been talking about. So apparently, what's avoided now is in the top of Lashon Hara. It means you can't let Lashon Hara succeed, right? You know, we can quote succeed, but Lashon Post can use, you know, if a honey knife, you know, I can't let Lashon Hara be my Tzliach. So, if you understand, like the Chafetz Chaim, it means that you can't indulge in this midah of Lashon Hara. So, this, a kind of a joy the gossip gets is both the person telling the story and the person hearing the story gets the hanah from it also. So you're not allowed to let yourself get that hanah. You're not allowed to partake in this quality of hearing the story. And you have to tell yourself, it's not true, I don't believe that the guy is making it up. Masha'in came, if one understands the idea of Lashon Hara as being really more focused on the ma'aser, you're not allowed to say something that will cause harm to somebody. So then the focus of not being the kapa Lashon Hara, the focus is to not allow any harm to come to somebody. So as long as you stop that from happening, as long as you try to turn it off over there, so then you've already done your part in stopping Lashon Hara from succeeding. And the fact that you believe it is not really so relevant, as long as you can stop your belief from being translated into anybody hurting anybody. Yeah, Sternberg will certainly agree that, you know, if you can avoid believing it, you can avoid hearing it in the first place, obviously that's better. The question, once you've heard it, so what's your responsibility towards the situation after having heard it? So your responsibility is to make sure that nobody gets hurt. One could suggest that a nafkamina of this nafkamina, a subset nafkamina, relates to a chakir that's found in the Sefer Shalos and Tshuva's Tirosh V'Yitzar. And in Tshuva's Tirosh V'Yitzar, in Siman Nun Vav, I think, she has the following chakir, it's an interesting chakir. Let's say, Mendel, if you don't mind if I use you, let's say a person for some reason doesn't know who Mendel is, right? Despite his, right? So the person doesn't know who Mendel is. A person comes up and says, "Sir, dude, I heard the most geschmack Lashon Hara about this guy Mendel. You got to hear it, okay?" And he wants to start telling it. And Mendel's got a moral dilemma as well. Okay, he's thinking, "I'm Mendel." So this guy clearly doesn't know that. So I've got two choices, right? Now, apparently, for some reason, in the Tirosh V'Yitzar, neither of the choices involve saying, "Sir, I happen to be Mendel." So I guess he didn't want to embarrass the guy, you know, whatever, because the guy clearly feels like a jerk. So somebody told me a story about once. The guy was on a bus, and they were saying so much about somebody, and then this lady gets off the bus and says to people talking about her, "You should know the guy you're talking about, I'm his mother." And they felt really horrible. And then she said, "Not really, but I could have been." But in any case, so apparently the guy Mendel saying "I'm Mendel" wasn't an option. But so what are the two choices in Tirosh V'Yitzar? So the two choices are as follows. One, he could say, up, I don't want to hear Lashon Hara, you're talking Lashon Hara, I don't want to hear it, stop, be quiet. Probably not having to talk Lashon Hara. Or alternatively, he could say like this. Alright, normally I wouldn't listen to Lashon Hara. But it's not going to hurt anyone, it's about me, and I already know what I did. So, the Gemara does say, and didn't, that what's the great Mila, what's the Havav to say Hashem is the Barasa, what's a very laudatory trait a person could have, says the Gemara. And it's correctly being stated here, Hanei Lavim V'Einam Ovim, Shainim Chapotim V'Einam Ishizim. You let yourself get insulted. Now love and be'enam over. You let yourself get insulted and you do not respond. You don't insult back. And shomim cherpasam, you hear your disgrace, ve'enam yeshivim, they don't respond. So the Gemara says, a very big mila to be a person who can hear himself being insulted and just sit quiet and not respond. So the mental will figure, I've got a great opportunity here. I'll listen to the whole thing. It won't be so bad, Lashon Hara, because now I'm not finding out anything new. It's about me. Now, chapas my love on the love that I'm old and show me chapas and being in the Shiva. So that's the stuff taking the Shiva's Jewish Yitzchak. And one could suggest that it's totally on this word, that if you believe that the problem of Lashon Hara is that you can't allow the midah, the quality, to be indulged, so then one could make a case that you should stop the guy from talking, even though it's not really going to do any serious damage here. Alternatively, if the word is that we're really focused on preventing damage from happening, so then one can make a case, it's a little bit of a weaker case, but one can make the case that, okay, since the damage here will not be real significant because You already presumably knows whatever it is. So maybe if you take this opportunity to go for this other Milo of Nilov Nihov and Shalom Chapasavina Mishiv. In case the Shiloh does not sound so Maisim, I think Sally pointed out to me once, somebody pointed out that this has an important Nakimina for superheroes, right? So if a person has a secret identity, so very often people will not know who they're talking to because of the secret identity. So you take, for example, Spider-Man, right? So J. Jonah Jameson is always fetching to Peter Parker about Spider-Man. So does Peter Parker have a chiyuv l'milch or not? So you could say, I'm not allowed to make Kabbalah Lashon Hara at all. Or you could say, no, it's about me, so I can listen and I'll be Mekayim and I love the animals. And stuff. That's important. Oh, so there definitely are other issues here, but that's why the second side is a little bit weaker.
You gotta say, hey, why didn't you stop me?
Right, I agree that there are other issues, so that side is a little bit weaker. Oh, so fine. So it could be that that's really a very important nafkamina l'maisa for those of us with secret identities. I don't know whether or not that applies. You know, by definition, I don't know whether or not that applies to anybody in this room. Another area in which this may have an nafkamina, this is something that the coach...
Something I didn't catch was, how does the nafkamina of the nafkamina, that is the separate nafkamina?
Because first we want to define what Kabbalah's Lashon Hara is, based on the way we're discussing it. And then, within the Yitzhar of Kabbalah's Lashon Hara, so in this case, the Tirish V'Yitzhar is the nafkamina of what is Kabbalah's Lashon Hara.
Yes, again, the second...
Okay, that's a semantic point, it doesn't really affect anything. But it doesn't really have any nafkamina on what it is. this also, Kodesh Yisrael points out himself that this also should affect, just on a theoretical level, what the nature of the Heter of Koelis is. The Kodesh Yisrael. We assume that Lashon Hara is Mutter when it's with Koelis. That if it's going to help somebody, if you're going to protect somebody from being hurt by speaking Lashon Hara, so Lashon Hara is permissible. So what is that Heter based on? So this is really just a theoretical point. You can have nothing in this court, but it's in itself a theoretical point that what is the nature of this heter? On the one hand, if the nature of the Yisra of Lashon Hara is because you're indulging in a bad midah, then one can make a case that if the purpose of the midah is positive, right, if the purpose of the action is positive, you're trying to help somebody, you're doing it by saying something bad about somebody, but your goal is to be helpful, so then one can make a case that that's not the midah of Lashon Hara, even though the surah is the same, but the midah is not being involved. So perhaps that's why Koelis is permissible. And if that's not the case, if the focus of Lashon Hara is really the damage, so then what you have to assume here is that we're dealing here with a clash. You have a clash in values that on the one hand, yes, it still is Lashon Hara really, but on the other hand, you have the imperative to help people who are at risk, which broadly interpreted tells us not to allow somebody to get hurt in any way, and you have an obligation to help them, or sometimes with the Hebrew Lashon Mishal might be whatever it is, you have an imperative to help somebody who's at risk, so it could be that imperative outweighs in this case Lashon Hara. So just the theoretical question of how does the heter of Koelis work, is it because that's not really Lashon Hara at all, for focusing on the midah, or is it because there's a clash here and apparently Koelis wins? So that's a theoretical question that the Kodesh Yisrael talks about. And he also points out that maybe that can stand within that context. The Chafetz Chaim has a chumrah that even when you speak Lashon Hara, that theoretically could be with Koelis. That's a Lashon Hara that would actually help somebody, but your kavana in telling it is to be involved with the person who you're talking about. So Chafetz Chaim writes that it's still prohibited. So that again can be understood in the full context. That if the whole reason Koelis is mutter is because it's not part of indulging this midah, so in the Hanami, when you are indulging this midah at the same time, so then it goes back to being awesome. But then you still have the problem, how do you deal with it? You can't let the guy get hurt because of this. You have to somehow work on that. If the listener is going to get hurt because you are so from and not from at the same time. You're not from because you really want to be involved with the guy, but you're from enough to realize that's what you're doing, so therefore you put yourself in the category of, it's a very, kind of a rare case. That you both, at the one hand, you're trying to help somebody, the other hand, you realize you have a ulterior motive, and you're aware the whole time is not going to, and then you realize you're in that category, you want to not do it, then you got a problem because the other guy's going to suffer, so you got to figure out some way to deal with that. But alternatively, if you believe the Heter of Koelis comes from the fact that Lashon Hara still is anyway, but just you have the imperative of helping the person, so then the fact that you're kavanah is to move out the guy perhaps wouldn't make such a difference.
So
go back to two steps and just spell out again how we like you play yourself out and cut balls close enough.
All right, at the end we'll go back to that. Okay, so that's another possible application of these two slugs. Another area in which this seems to come up is an area that we discussed in other contexts, because it comes up in a number of other discussions, and that has to do with the well-known dispute between the Chafetz Chaim and Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. Mendel has a chiddush on this machlokas. Maybe we'll forget to or not. But there is a well-known dispute between the Chafetz Chaim and Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. That as we know, so Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was the founder of the Muslim movement. And one would think that out of all the people who were around the time Sefer Chofetz Chaim came out, that he would be among the most excited. This is really right up his alley. Nonetheless, the story has it, and a number of Svarim discussed the story. Story quoted in Svarim, you can look it up. I think Rabbi Anzal Agee discussed it in his essay for Talk About Tahr. Another Svarim that talked about the Bar Mitzvah has the story in print. That the Yisrael Salanter refused to give a haskama to the Chofetz Chaim, refused to give a haskama to the Sefer Chofetz Chaim. And why did he refuse? Not that he didn't think it was a good book. We know from other stories that he did think it was a good book. But he didn't want to give a haskama because there was one sock that he disagreed with. He didn't want to put his name on it. So people asked him, write the haskama and put a little footnote at the bottom. I disagree with the sock on page 182, and people will know you disagree. So he responded, nobody reads Haskamas anyway. So people are just going to see his name, they're going to think that he endorses everything in the book, and he was very concerned that there's one sock that he's not at peace with. So what was this one sock? So the Chofetz Chaim appears to say, and this is based on Rabbi Yonah in Shari Tshuva, in Shari Gimel Los Reish Zayin. Chofetz Chaim appears to say, Gimel Reish Zayin, and you'll see that the later post can modify this as well, but the Chofetz Chaim appears to Paskin based on Rabbeinu Yonah. Now let's say a person speaks Lashon Hara, right? So we know the Gemara says that there is an imperative. A person wants to do tshuva, so if he didn't have Beir, then also so he has to make up with the other guy. He has to, there's two halves, Paskin is part of the whole other discussion, but he has to smooth things over and he has to get Mechili. So normally that's not such a big deal. I mean, normally it's something that's out in the open. Most of Eir's on Machavero, the other person knows about. So you hurt somebody, whatever, you'll punch somebody in the nose, so in addition to whatever else you got to do to fix them up, but so you have to say, I'm sorry for punching in the nose, are you mocking me? And he says yes, and you move on. So Lashon Hara is a little trickier, because it's possible to violate this Avera ben Adam Machavero without the other guy knowing. So what's going to happen? What's the here? So if you did Yom Kippur, everybody's all friendly and happy, and your friend loves you, and you call him up and you say, listen, Yossi, I just want you to know, every day for the past 26 years, I've been taking a different person in the community, sitting them down and saying, Yossi is a jerk. I only hang out with him because he's rich and because he has good food. He's obnoxious. He has no personality. And I've never really liked him. So I've been saying that to pretty much everybody in town. But look, I'm really sorry. So are we cool now? So maybe the guy will be mostly. Right? Maybe eventually after the whole discussion you're gonna be cool. But Lamaisa, you cause a lot of suffering in telling him the story. Right? He's certainly gonna be upset. So by doing that you violate a Torah prohibition of a Nos Dvar. It sounds like, well, we'll get to that objection in a second. But whatever, the Chofetz Chaim sounds like he was telling you to do that. The Chofetz Chaim sounds like he was telling you that there's an obligation to ask Mithila for the Avera of Lashon Hara. So if that's what you've been doing, you gotta fix it by asking for Mithila. And Rabbi Shmuel said, Chas v'Shalom. Rabbi Shmuel said, no way. You're going to violate the prohibition of Anos Dvar, and the Torah says, Leison, Elishas Amiso, you're not allowed to oppress people, you're not allowed to afflict people. And the Gemara of the Mishnah says, Kshem Shiesh Anol B'Malon Kach Yesh Anol B'Dvar, to hurt somebody's feelings is a mitzvah d'oraisa of Anos Dvar, right? Mordechai writes, get Malchus. Most Rishonim explain that's not, and it's difficult to slash into Maisa, but there's a position Rishonim probably get Malchus. The serious issue. So how can you violate an off alarm just to clear your conscience? So you'll feel better in the morning. I mean, it's a fee to do it, but so you'll feel better, so you're going to violate an off alarm. I think it says in the Art Scroll book, I'm Rishal Zanter, talks about the story also, and I think it said that Aaron Cutler heard the story, and so he it was presented in book. So we saw slander is saying it against the Benyona, the companions that we shown him. Yeah, the Benyona. So that divine color was quoted in the book as saying, we saw slander is kind of who Paul. We got him a very good. He could argue on Rishonim. But in any case, it sounds like you have a major dispute here. Sorry? I don't know. So, what's the issue here? So one could suggest, and again, when we discuss this in other contexts, we sometimes mention it in different therein, but just the context is relevant here. So that one could suggest that maybe the issue here is the nature of Lashon Hara. That if the void, how can you understand the motivation of Chofetz Chaim and Rabbeinu Yonah? Again, those are the two names you've been mentioning in this context of believing that the Yisr is the Midah, right? So again, L'shitasam, the belief that the Yisr is the Midah, so how can you understand this idea that somebody would ask Mechila for Lashon Hara and hurt the person in the process? Because if the Yisr really is the quality, so even though you're hurting somebody and you could say that's just as bad, but since the whole point is the opposite of Lashon Hara, you're trying to undo it, you're trying to fix the Midah. So maybe one could make a case, theoretically speaking, that it's kedai to do, because it's the opposite of Lashon Hara. Alternatively, if one believes that the whole point is not supposed to hurt somebody with speech, then it really highlights the counterproductiveness, like what Rishol Slanter is saying, to go and hurt somebody a different way from the speech. The machapa for hurting him in the speech the first time really seems to be clearly counterproductive. I'll just parenthetically insert here Mendel's Sarer, because I always get hung up in this, so... Mendel was mayor. Actually, I think next week I should speak about it. So we'll save it next week. Remember next week that, and it's intended to come back next week. Come back next week, remember this is my focus, and we'll tell you Mendel's aura on this. It's a very nice aura. In any case, it's a little plug scene from the next episode. in any case, you just mentioned that, again, Post can do modify the Yisrael, the Chofetz Chaim's psak. To assume that he didn't really mean that if a guy was going to be blissfully ignorant forever, that you should violate that and break that by telling him something you never would have found out about. Could mean that this is something that the Avnei Baruch talks about, the Benjamin Yehoshua Zober, the big Bamus himself, as many Shuvah Salvation Hara. And Avinir talks about the Shuvah Samkul Aviv, the Shuvah Sechai Halevi talk about this. Whenever Svarim suggests different modifications, that if he didn't really mean that, the guy never would have known, and you're telling him. Maybe it means that it was out there, and he would eventually find out, or he knew what was being said, he didn't know who. You know, different ways in which it's not as extreme as it sounds, and it's not really that he never would have known anything, and you're telling him, and now you're hurting his feelings. He knew, he didn't know it was you, or he didn't know yet, but he would have known, you know, somehow. It's something that really was kind of out there, and it would have eventually got back to him, something along those lines. So that's a good question on Maisa, then. So what do you do? As you pointed out, there is a chiyuv to ask mechila, and the Gemara does say that a person does not get kafara and kippur until he makes up with everybody. And there's like different ways in Tfernum, the Gra, others talk about how to understand this. Could mean you don't get kafara for anything. It could be that even your very strong mamako, you don't get kafara for it. So what do? You stuck. So much harder once in your life, you're stuck, you never get kafara for anything. So you have any aitzah. So there are a number of aitzahs how to deal with this. The woman suggests, and he says for Yom Kippur, and Oros Yimei HaRachamim, that we developed a minhag nowadays to make fun of, but it might be helpful here. Sakasha in general, all that chonim asks, so why does the Mishnah seem to connect the chiyuv of asking the mechila with Yom Kippur? If I hurt your feelings on Yom HaAtzmaut, so I'm required to ask your mechila on Yom HaAtzmaut. I don't have to wag, no English to wait for Yom Kippur. Sometimes you gotta wait a little bit to get the guy to calm down, whatever, it doesn't always work right away, but what's the Indian to connect it to Yom Kippur? You should ask Mechila whenever the guy's ready. Okay, it's the upper limit, you gotta make sure to do it before Yom Kippur. But it's a discussion why there seems to be this relationship to Yom Kippur. Whatever it is, the woman uses that idea to have an Asa for this situation that the mimic has developed that on Erev and Kippur, before that, people are running around asking everybody to see, are you mochum? And it's usually not so meaningful because it's not coming, no, I hurt you in this way and I hope you're mochum. It's kind of this general thing. So sometimes posting things that that's like really open to the zuzul of the whole practice, it's not really the spirit of what asking mechila really is, it should be a more serious process. But nonetheless, it might be helpful here that since this is a case where you don't want to spell out what you did, right? You don't want to explain, even though the post can point out that ideally when you ask Mechila is a bach, ideally when you ask Mechila there isn't any need to specify. You know, I hit you and I did this, and remember I'm hurt and I did this to you and I must move this to you and to spell it out. But in this case, I'd have to be Mechila for that. And just to use this general request from Mechila that's floating around, take advantage of that. Now, otherwise, even spelling out doesn't help. You know, you get a phone call tonight, somebody says, listen, Bob, I haven't spoken to you in 3 weeks, but I'm just wondering, you're welcome for everything. So they'll usually pick up that something was up. So you don't want to do that either, but you wait till everything's different when people are all running around asking such things, so it's not going to raise any eyebrows. Ravina Soloveitchik in the Sefer Parach Mat Aaron, he mentioned already that he also discusses the story. So he suggests you want to fix Lashon Hara, so the eighth is you can't ask Mechila. So the eighth is you should try to counteract it. So you spread bad things, just try to spread good things. And that perhaps also maybe reflects the idea that Lashon Hara is hurting somebody through speech, so you try to offset the results by helping somebody through speech. Sorry?
What's the in terms of spreading good things about people?
I mean, because it's also, right, you have to be careful, you have to know how to do it. Because somehow to set off the results of what you said, that's apparently, sorry?
You have to ask, right,
you don't have that option. So if you don't have that option, so how do you deal with it instead? What's your other answer to somehow fix it? So this is all part of the large discussion that you have about the function of Mechila and what you're trying to accomplish. That's for another time.
You have to ask
because we don't want to tell him.
Because we're not sure to go
sometime or because in general, it's probably the case that we're assuming that Halacha Maisa probably, and I'm not assuming, but many do assume that Halacha Maisa probably should not ask from the Chilas for Lashon Hara because it does seem to be a bad idea, socially speaking. It's probably the case. I mean, again, what exactly Chaim kind of meant is in itself a question, you know, whether or not he really recommended it in such extreme cases. It's very possible not. Hi.
Kind of wise is it really be working with an email mode because
yeah,
it's closer to me than you're maybe just...
Yeah, no, definitely could. Yeah. I'll just mention one or two other points. Common practice, and I'm not questioning this practice, and that's what everybody does, but it is discussed a little bit in posting, but common practice is that if somebody wants to tell a story, that would technically be Lashon Hara, so the way they do it is they do it without mentioning the person's name. Many Gishrol seems to make on this. People definitely do it all the time. Certainly, as Farm points out, you have to be very careful not to give over any information that will allow the person to figure it out. But it is a discussion whether or not this is a permissible practice at all, even though, again, you know, it does give you many Gishrol to do it. This practice of speaking Lashon Hara without the name.
I mean, whether you that's okay.
Yeah. So the Shuvah Sisarudas Shuvah, he talks about this. I think it's like Aleph Beis, the two together, Aleph Beis, Siman Ayin. And he seems to be machmir on this. And the Harus in the bottom, the Ikfei Sofer, he points out that he must be talking about even where the guy's not going to figure out who you're talking about. Because if you can figure out who you're talking about, then for sure all the posts can say it does. But he was talking about a case where apparently I didn't figure out who he's talking about. And still, it seems that Harus Shuvah was machmir on this. The Harus Shuvah. And there's also an article in the journal Bikurin, in Chilik Beis, in the end. There's an article by Rabbi Yisrael Pesach Feinhandler, who I think is the author of the Chuvas Avnei Yashka as well, I think, where he also discusses the Shaila of whether or not there's a prohibition to speak Lashon Hara without mentioning the person's name. And he agrees at the beginning that there isn't a prohibition as far as Lashon Hara is concerned. But nonetheless, he lists a whole number of other Los essays and essays. If you ever read the whole time, so in the beginning, it's an akdama that can violate a million other isurim by speaking Lashon Hara, but including, you know, things like Shibud Aveim and Snikashai Tiro, if you're speaking in a shul about your parents, and Shabbos, and Kippur, Shachal, Yotz, and Burn. But there are going to get a lot of people while wearing Shabbos and eating
Shabbos.
Yeah, you can come up with like a lot of different things, you know, some of them you have to really, you know, whatever, but he, along those lines, he points out that like five, Dippel Torah is one of them also, you know, all the different Yisurim you can come up with while doing this. He says still he doesn't recommend it so much for all the other side Yisurim. Well, we agree that Lashon Hara maybe you don't violate. So this question may also impact on the solution. If we're trying to prevent the Mida of Lashon Hara, so one can say that even though you're protecting the victim, even though you're not mentioning his name, but there's still a certain negative hana that comes from that. There's a certain discouraged joy that comes from saying, hey, you know, somebody here did such and such, right? And the haraya, not that any of us have ever seen this, but gossip columnists do sometimes do this, right? You know, a certain person did this, you know, whatever. A certain famous so-and-so was seen doing this, that same name, because they know you also got to hang off of that. You know, even not hearing the different person it was, but hearing a scandal, so that's also a hanas, but perhaps that neither should be completely discouraged. You know, even though you're not actually saying who the person is.
So is that true?
You're just telling me to make up a story, it's a novel?
Yeah, I know the names aren't true, and right, not true. Just because people want to hear...
Oh, you want to make up a case, why don't you make
up a case? If there's a bad mida, right, to say bad about people, so would there be a problem to say bad about someone that doesn't exist? You make up the name?
Well, what's the case? Gemara says, you know, Reuben
you're a creative novel writer, or you're creative.
I don't think that's the same kind of hanah. The person gets a hanah knowing that it happened.
No, but the listener, they know they can get a whole bunch of people listening to them.
I don't know. That's a different type of hanah. A person telling a story that's clearly false, I don't know if that really falls in the same category. Gemara said, you know, Gemara has examples, you know, made up so and so doing so and so. That's. I remember Rabbi Shaka mentioned that Shivas HaGaonim, and somebody asked the Gaonim, you know, who is this guy, Ahu Gavra? Must have been Eliyahu HaNavi, because he shows up in so many different stories, and how can he be in so many places? And they respond that, no, it's just a theoretical person, because you know sometimes there's an error, so it can't always be Eliyahu HaNavi. In any case, I don't know, to make up a story that's really false, I don't know if that's such a problem, but in any case, if one could make the case that if the board is indulging this mitzvah, then perhaps it's still to be discouraged. But at the same time, you can then understand if somebody wants to, let's say, make a point, somebody wants to do a Musa Shmooz, and say, it's terrible to do this, and a certain person once did this, or whatever, without mentioning name, so then, for both reasons, it should be permissible, because since no one's going to get hurt, and also the need aspect is not there, because your intention is the code, your intention is to get Musa. So one can make a case that, according to both studies, if your purpose is like for a Musa Shmooz, something like that, then it can be mutter according to both sides. But in any case, in Minhag Yisrael, that everyone seems to do this without, I'm not saying it's not Gadi Machmir, maybe it is Gadi Machmir, but I'm saying it seems to be that people have this, how they do this. It could be because perhaps the focus is on the damage, on the mitzvah of not damaging somebody through speech, and as long as you prevent that from happening by taking great care to make sure that the identity that you're talking about will not ever be revealed, so then perhaps one can make a case that that is permissible. So just to try to tie back to what we were talking about to begin with, so as we discussed a little bit tonight, that there seems to be these two elements of Lashon Hara, both this quality of being a gossip and this actual action of hurting somebody through speech. So it's interesting to note that there is a mitzvah in the Torah that we know that I'm probably talking about kind of a mitzvah in the Torah known as the Zechiros. Right, there are certain times the Torah says, remember this, remember that, the Shiloh had a count, some people say it was four, it could be there's as many as nine, it could be more than that. People have different ways of counting the mitzvah in the Torah of Zechira. One of them is the mitzvah of Mice and Miriam, remembering the Mice and Miriam. And that's when you have the Ramban, in his Hasagas on the Sefer Mitzvahs in the Rambam, and in his Perush and Chumash, the Ramban writes, that's the real mitzvah in that Torah, you have an obligation in that Torah to remember, and according to him, it's one of the 613 mitzvahs, to remember Mice and Miriam. So why do you have such a mitzvah? If I'm explaining, you know, it's a special zahiris against Lashon Hara, that you should be careful that you remember what happened to Miriam. But still, we have many lavim, but you don't have every single time a Torah gives you a mitzvah, a special mitzvah also remember somebody who did this and remember what happened to them. So why is Lashon Hara special? So the Mashkiach and Slobodka, Yitzchak Isaac Sher, in his Leket Tzichas Moser, suggests that the difference is, we started off, we have a concept called our back Lashon Hara. Now, how do you buy a back Lashon Hara? So let's take a less extreme case than what we started with. If you could say something you mean well, you mean it to be positive, and it comes out negative, you could violate a back Lashon Hara. So one could say, what do you want from me? You know, you could tell me not to try to hurt anybody. You could tell me not to say anything negative about people. So I could know not to do that. But if I'm going to say something positive, I mean well, and it comes out negative, so what do you want from me? I meant well. That's why you have to understand that Lashon Hara is very tricky. You're dealing here with complicated emotional situations, and you can't always wait till the last minute to try to figure out how what you're going to say, how it's going to come out. So you have to develop a sensitivity beforehand. You have to work on this midah. You have to work on this quality of being a gossip or saying hurtful things and eradicating that midah within yourselves so that when you talk, you know that what you say is not going to be hurtful because you've worked on developing this midah beforehand. And that's why Torah has to go out of its way and say, not enough not to speak Lashon Hara. But in addition to not speaking Lashon Hara, you have to remember all the time that there was an incident with Miriam, and how Miriam had Tzadikas, one of our major role models, and who certainly meant well, was still trapped by the issue of Lashon Hara. All the more so, we have to be careful to work on our attitudes and our sensitivities to not allow this Avera to trip us up. So what does Rashi mean when Rashi says Meraglim should have learned from Miriam? It doesn't mean it's a Kal v'chomer that it's worse to speak a better Israel than it's to bad people. No, the Kal v'chomer, the Gemara says, go the other way. But the Meraglim should have seen that if you see what happens to Miriam, that even a tzaddikus like Miriam could get in trouble with Lashon Hara. So if you have this quality in you, you have to start eradicating it. You have to start working on it. And right away, right after the Mice and Miriam, to go speak badly about Eretz Yisrael, to go indulge in this negativity, even though it's, in Achanami it's less bad. But the whole point of Miriam is that you have to start working on this quality. You have to start wiping it out wherever it exists. So you have to start practicing. And to run off and right away indulge this negative quality right afterwards is to be missing the point of what happened to Miriam and our obligation to remember it. So Rashi says in Chazal that the Meraglim should have realized that even though what they were doing is not as bad, but nonetheless, if somebody like Miriam would have such problems, all the more so they have to start working on this need, then they have to start extricating it in advance. So this perhaps is what I was getting at in that context, perhaps. In any case, we've seen a little bit tonight some different things in Lashon Hara. Mitzvah Hashem, next week, Parashat Sakhon Los Kedoshim, so we'll talk about something else. All right, you should have a wonderful weekend. Please do stay.
Thank you.